On the CFO Story, we sit down with CFOs to discuss what's relevant, learn how to navigate in today's markets as a CFO, and give them a platform to share their stories. We want to hear your CFO story.
All right, guys. Hey, and welcome back to the CFO Story. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jason Lee, and joined with my other co-host, Sammy Abood.
Hey, guys. Welcome.
Sammy, glad to have you, man. And we're excited today. We are joined by Travis Zebro from Momenta Tech. Travis, I've known him. We've been running the gamut as entrepreneurs side by side for the last 6 years together, man. It's been a journey getting to watch, really just a joy getting to watch your success over the last few years building your company. We've both been kind of building our business at the same time. So getting to watch you be successful and have you on the show is really a lot of pleasure for me. So Travis, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys. So
now, for those, again, that are tuning in, the CFO Story really is designed for CFOs. Our goal is to help bring value to the CFO marketplace. We realize that there are, really in all businesses, CFOs are where all the everything lands on their desk at some point in time, right? And so they're called to do many things that are outside the scope of traditional, just accounting and finance. I think people think that they're just in the books all day, but really they're leading, they're challenging their teams, they're building teams, they're involved in all different types of things inside the organization. And today we're going to talk about software, right, and AI and a lot of things that maybe help would help simplify or make their jobs easier. And so Travis was with me at an event a few months ago. We co-hosted an event for AI with another peer here in Houston. And Travis had some great value adds, and it was like a perfect timing for us to say, hey, let's get you on the show and share some information for these CFOs. So first of all, Travis, tell us a little bit about your business, what you guys do every day, and really some of the problems that you solve.
Sure enough. So we call ourselves a tech agency. So what we do is we help mainly clients in the industrial space either deploy enterprise software. We also work with increasing external visibility. So what does that look like? SEO-based marketing services, as well as enterprise websites. And we've been at that now really solid for 2 years now. Business started 7 years ago, but it's been a bit of a rocky journey. The last 2 years, we've really hit our stride and focused on our expertise of really helping these industrial companies deploy the right software, integrate the right systems into their business.
So let's talk about deploying software, right? So first of all, let's start with this. Why is it a challenge, right? So, I mean, I think, when someone says, hey, I want to get better, here's the software, let me just go get it off the shelf. But it's not that easy. Talk to us about what some of the obstacles are whenever someone decides they want to deploy software in their organization.
Sure. So software, more than probably any other industry, has evolved and continues to evolve at an incredibly rapid pace. And so what was good 10 years ago probably isn't going to fit the bill anymore. And the challenge is you're looking at not just one piece of software, but dozens of pieces of software to run your business and your functionality. And every stakeholder typically comes from a different viewpoint and has different biases that impact not only the software selection process, but the actual integration and deployment inside the enterprise. Mm-hmm.
Understood. So I guess my first question for you is how, so does somebody hire you to help determine what type of software to use and why? I mean, if they've got 12 of them off the shelf and they don't go and get all 12, what is your role in that process?
Right. So I call it the tech stack design. So what are the different pieces of software that you're looking at? What are the pieces you have integrated right now? What do the APIs look like? How does that software talk? What does it do? Or what does it not do that it needs to do? Mm-hmm. So we'll start with that framework in mind.
So when you decide and you look at these things, I guess you're trying to piece it all together. What makes you guys knowledgeable of this stuff? Like, how do you go out and determine? Do you buy the software and test it all out, or are there certain algorithms or things that are designed? How do you walk in and determine which software is which and why it works best?
That's a great question. So I will say, don't start the conversation with a software provider. And so typically someone will say, hey, I want to get a ERP system implemented. And the first conversation they have is with one of the big boys and maybe a junior sales rep that it has every trick in the book of why they to get the customer to buy that particular piece of software. So if that's your process, you'll have a lot of blind spots. So what we try to do with clients, whether it's with my firm or another firm, is ask them to engage in user stories. Really define how everyone is using the software, what that looks like, what are the different touch points, what are the type of reporting that's required, and then do a thorough analysis of the intended software and say, like, does it actually accomplish what we're trying to accomplish? It's a much better way to set a firm groundwork.
Understood. So I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of moving pieces recently, especially around AI. I mean, we hosted an AI event a few weeks ago. There's everywhere I look, there's talks about how you start to apply it. I would imagine there is a big shift that you're seeing with your clients trying to figure out how to capitalize on AI. Talk to me about your process for going out and looking at AI and what kind of AI you can bring to the table for your clients.
Right. So first, I always encourage clients to take a few steps back and don't start the conversation with AI. Start it with your own processes, how you're getting product out the door, what does that look like? And if you don't have your processes documented, bringing AI in is not the right time, right? It's an optimization type of exercise. And so let's assume, though, that you've done the due diligence, your processes are well-defined, you've got systems either in place or know what they should look like. Well, now, okay, maybe that's a time to start looking at what AI can potentially do for your organization.
Nice. And so whenever you, and I love that about process, because I think process is probably where it starts. And let's back up for a minute. How often when you walk into businesses do you realize that they perhaps don't have the processes they need?
Yeah, and I would say, and this is current company as well,
right?
We all can be better at processes. The reality is sometimes I'll walk into an organization that's completely prepared, has everything ISO 9000 certified and good to go on paper, but then what really happens is a different story, right? So there's a lot of times there's gaps between people's perception of even how the work gets done and how it really is getting done. So we see that as being a frequent problem as well.
Understood. Now, do you guys actually write software or create software to assist when, for example, if let's say there's a technical thing that perhaps the software that's enterprise level can't do, or perhaps they don't need to go get a bigger software package because maybe they only need one or two things that they can't currently get done.
Right.
Is that something that you go create in your world, or do you just go try to find the right type of AI? Or what happens when you run into a situation where maybe they don't need a full overhaul, but maybe there's just a few incremental things that they need to improve the process?
Right. So generally speaking, we encourage clients to use enterprise software that's been vetted with multiple customers. There's a certain robustness that has to creep into the system if that company is going to stay in motion. With that being said, sometimes there is a need to create custom software, and we do that. We have we specialize in web apps, which is a bit different from what you're familiar with maybe on your phone, but web apps can be viewed across platform from a desktop browser or on your phone as well. There's a lot of, it's a lower cost and very robust way of delivering information. So this kind of comes into the process discussion, though, is first really define your process, figure out what your central hub is. And if you need additional small apps to do particular functions, then let's have that conversation, right?
Now, Sammy, you were a CFO, and you were off, I can imagine during your tenure, you probably were responsible for engaging and bringing, especially when I think about it, because most companies, right, I think you probably have to get to a certain number of people, certain number of revenues for it to warrant having what would they consider an IT, what do you call that person? Director of IT. Oftentimes this stuff's getting outsourced, right, which is a great value add in the marketplace, right? You can outsource to a fractional IT team or somebody to come in and support you with that. But so as a CFO, did this stuff land at your desk?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jason. And actually, that kind of fits into something I was going to ask you, Travis, because of my day as a CFO, I know we knew we were lacking something, and we know we knew we needed something. We were growing. We totally outgrew our old software, whether it was the ERP or accounting system. We had kind of a blend. It was a nice fit for a while, but we had outgrown it. So we knew we wanted something bigger, but we didn't know what. right? And we knew some of the things we wanted to accomplish. So my part of my responsibility was finding somebody that could provide not only the software, but the expertise on how to, A, implement it, how to coach us, how to train us, how to answer the questions. So does that sound a lot like part of what your business's role is with a client? In other words, do you help educate them on what they need? They may not know exactly what they need. Is that part of the process as well for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it all starts with that advisory session, and just mentioned earlier, the user stories. And so they're a little bit magical, in my opinion. So what it'll say, you'll start off and you'll look at all the different roles that touch that piece of software in the organization. And we encourage everyone to have an open brainstorming session with all the stakeholders. Hey, as a controller, I would like to see this so that I can do that. Mm-hmm. I would like to receive this notification so that this can happen. And so once you have that all on the board and it's out there in written form, the team feels really energized knowing that, like, hey, my needs have been captured, my voice has been heard. And then you start looking at, like, okay, what can we live without, right? Like,
yeah.
Do we really need, like, a notifications or some sort of AI to determine whether this is a valid request or not? All of those type of parameters can then be sized up. And then that's when we compare it to the software in a very objective, try to take the passion and the bias out the most we can.
Sure.
And make the best possible decision there.
So you're truly a resource to them. You're not just an order taker, so to speak,
right.
But you're telling them, from our view and from our experience and from what you're telling us you need, maybe this is a good fit. And then you're going through the rationale with them, right? It's not an overnight process, is it?
Right. Not at all. And so I'll say sometimes we come in after this ship has already sailed. So those are fun.
Okay. Yep.
Can be a little challenging, right? But what you'll see a lot of times is a system that's been halfway implemented. Several of our customers spent millions of dollars on enterprise software, deployed it, and weren't seeing the value. And so that's when we'll get the call too. So, and personally, that I find that energizing, right? A little bit of triage there where you're going in and really, at the end of the day, helping people do their job better. And, you know, also, there's a sense that technology can be scary. It can be foreign. It feels like maybe it's taking my job. And I think whenever technology is deployed appropriately, it really should empower the people that work there.
Yeah, right? As so it really is a good tool, right?
Absolutely.
The word I was looking for earlier was managed service provider. Those are the people who are outsourced to come in and help manage your IT team, right?
Yeah.
When your computers go down. Now, you're not a managed service provider.
Thank you.
Right, okay.
Because we get that a lot, right?
Yeah.
So
all IT guys are the same. I'm like, hold on. Yeah. I know a couple of good ones that I can refer you to.
There you go.
I am not an MSP, right?
Right.
Those guys are different.
They're not
your infrastructure
tech stack guys necessarily, right? They're not. I mean, so someone's listening and says, "Oh, I got an MSP. I should call my managed service provider."
Right.
More often than not, a managed service provider is not going to be in the business of helping you determine your technology stack, either.
Yeah. So you're correct on
okay.
that. So more often than not, they're basically providing and nurturing and growing the infrastructure. You know, making decisions like, hey, do we want to keep this on-prem or do we want to move it to the cloud? You know, what do our data privacy policies look like? Those type of things are beyond our purview. Where we really excel is from an advisory capacity of like, hey, I've got the CRM system that doesn't talk to the ERP, and then I'm paying like, you know, $10,000 in subscriptions. Like, what can I trim out of this? That's where we really excel, is being able to see how the business operates and how it could potentially grow in a nice organic way given the right infrastructure.
Understood. So that I wanted to help separate that for those that were listening, because I think sometimes, I mean, I know me until I got to know and develop a relationship with you. And I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when you were trying to tell me what you did, I just thought you were like everyone else. You know, I'm like, okay, he does computer stuff. You know,
exactly.
And then my buddy who does MSP, I was like, you know, you guys are all the same people. But eventually I learned, okay, these guys are more on the service and tech side of managing the systems and process of your computer going down, or, you know, cybersecurity or things like that.
Absolutely.
Whereas you're stepping in and more of a consultant, essentially, right, to help determine and peel back the business. How do we operate better? How do we make all this stuff work in concert? So really you're working in concert with the MSPs to help them have a better system. So you're in addition to.
Absolutely. Yeah, so okay. And we see a lot of like cross-pollination there sometimes. So yeah. I'll refer some MSPs. And
yeah. I'm just curious, how does a tech guy, because I'm still scratching my head on this one, though. Yeah. So how does a tech guy go from being a consultant on the software piece to then also a marketing owner?
Yeah.
That's just,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, because I want right? to know where this was rooted from. So help me understand that first, and then we'll talk about that part.
Yeah, so look, I'm going to be honest. It's always been in my blood. I was a DJ back in the day, so okay. throw big parties. I always had a good time doing that. So I always enjoyed bringing people's attention to things that were interesting and unique, right?
Did you have DJ name?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering the same thing.
Us, you have to do it and tell our audience.
Yes. Well, in true engineering fashion, I was part of a duo that was called Dynamic Viscosity.
Dynamic Viscosity. Wow. Love
so, yes.
It.
Okay. There you go, cool. man. So Google it. You might be able to find something.
Sammy, I think we have a new nickname
I like
for our
it.
Show.
Dynamic on there, Viscosity.
The Dynamic Viscosity. Can't wait to use that.
So listen. So the real story is not really that cool, right? The real story is COVID hit. It's 2020. Mm. I'm begging, scratching, clawing for clients, right? You know, because no one's doing anything.
Right.
And so I'm hanging out in a room by myself. I get in an obscure Reddit forum called Just Start. And I read all these case studies of these people. And there were so many that it just seemed unreal, right? Like I read all these case studies of people who basically learn how to rank articles and then monetize off that through ads and such. And so I had a blog at the time. I wasn't doing much with it. I dove off deep into the deep end. So this is it's the blog I have is called Punchless Zero. It's in the industrial space. It's an educational blog.
Punchless Zero?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
.com. So dove deep into that, really started to figure out how to write articles so that they would rank, right? And so the results ended up being phenomenal. I took that website from, I think, the start of COVID, we were doing around 1,000 page views and boosted it well over to 40,000.
Wow.
So that was exceptional. And then I said, okay, I'm not really wanting to sit around just making a few bucks off ads. Like, you know who can really benefit from these are industrial companies. And so that's when we started selling these services into the market saying like, hey guys, like, as an industrial company that in our target is typically an industrial company between 5 and 200 million of revenue that has operations at least nationwide, is selling a product nationwide. That's a great fit for us. Because what we can do is we can write technical articles that build trust with the audience and also can be picked up organically from Google. So
Okay. So who you guys write the articles?
So, yeah, we have a writer on staff.
Oh, wow, okay.
Shout out to my man, David, in Nigeria. So he's full-time.
Cool.
And he's crushing it. So
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Very interesting.
So question, now that we go back to tech and AI and stuff like that, how do you see that in the future? Do you see yourself having the ability to create and craft more leveraging AI from a writing perspective? Because I know that's becoming a popular topic.
Yeah, so we went pretty deep into that in 2022 prior to all the hype with the OpenAI and ChatGPT. We actually used OpenAI to create an auto blog creation, you know, which is now kind of passe, right? Like I feel like everyone has, like so many companies offer that, but at the time I felt like that was pretty cool. So that particular experiment didn't pay off in the way that we hoped, at least from a monetary standpoint, but there's a lot of interesting opportunities that are kind of coming our way. Like for instance, we're talking with a company right now that is looking to basically enhance their estimating process through using AI to basically error check.
Mm-hmm.
And so those type of applications, these little small niche applications are super exciting because when deployed properly, you're talking about millions of dollars potentially in cost savings.
Absolutely.
It's really exciting.
Wow. Travis, any big news on the horizon? What you've got something going on you want to share about that's kind of a little bit of a change for what y'all have?
Yeah, so we are actually at the end of this year formally announcing the creation and divestiture, I should say, of software implementation. So the actual implementation piece is going to be moving to one of my guys, Brian Burkholder, under the name of Cadence Consulting. So we're splitting that out as a separate entity. It's going to be owned by Brian, and I will continue to be working, you know, very closely with him on the advisory services we're offering. So what that does for our clients, it really helps tighten up our focus of being more of an advisory and development of software firm, and the actual implementation and the project management side of will be managed through Cadence. And he has a strong vision for where he's taking the company. So I'm excited. I'll see where this thing goes.
So it sounds like even though you're diversifying, sounds like the plan is, you know, there's going to be some mutual partnership to, you know, in the future, right?
Yeah.
With your clients.
And I mean, and you guys know you're in this business. It's like, it's working with good people who want to deliver results for their clients. Mm-hmm. And so, that's really, what I find a lot of joy in running an agency is you run across a lot of different folks in different places. And sometimes maybe it turns into a deal. Sometimes it doesn't,
sure.
But it's very rewarding.
Excellent. Wish awesome. You the best with that. That's really neat.
Exciting times.
Thank you.
So you are, first of all, I've known you to always be a great guy who cares and is has a servant heart. And you've plugged in with my buddy Corey over at Curio Collective.
Corey!
Yeah, and you guys are, tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the work that you've done with those guys and kind of some of the things that Momenta Tech is doing with its heart for service.
Yeah, absolutely. So my faith has always been an important piece of who I am. And, you know, learning about Corey's vision, I actually learned about it pre-launch, had the opportunity to help bring that website to market. And, you know, he had a very strong vision for creating, as he calls it, a Christ-centered, purpose-driven co-working. So just being able to be around other believers who you know, are really trying to bring kingdom principles into the workplace, and it's been a great joy of mine, and that guy is always an encouragement. So just to get to do business with him, and you know, just the various organizations that he supports. You know, Momenta Tech is one of the more, I'll call it, capitalistic organizations. There's a lot that are directly focused on service that are part of the Curio Collective. So I can't remember off the top of my head how many folks there are, but the ones that we support at Momenta Tech is a Mission of Hope, and they're very pragmatic kind of as far as like their deployment of capital and just helping the individuals and seeing folks in developing countries on an individual basis and really help alleviate the suffering there. So it's really cool to just see, once again, like Corey and that team and just the various folks that are coming together in that.
So. Awesome, man. And then I know you had some other, like a real big thing that you recently got to do, which is pretty significant for you and your brand and just in general. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have developed a product called Magic Asset, which allows technicians, customers, and really any service providers to be able to get real-time data on assets that are located in the field. So that's a mouthful. So think about it in this way. Like normally if you're a technician and you walk up to a pump in a field, the only information that's present is the nameplate, and that's about it. And maybe your visuals that you have on it. So what this does is it puts a data layer onto that asset that's accessible via permission level. So maybe if you're a technician, you have a certain level of ability to get into that system. So at any rate, we deployed that with one customer, and then we applied for a pitch competition. We got to pitch Chevron. So that was a great experience. It really helped crystallize like our go-to-market plan. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. It was publicly held, and so I just learned a lot from it, right? Like because it forces you to kind of focus your value proposition a little bit. So one of the things we're looking forward to is building on kind of that success of, we have a pilot program, so we're looking for equipment providers and rental companies that are looking to deploy a lightweight data layer on equipment and just be able to recognize the benefits associated with that.
That's fantastic. So you pitched Chevron.
Yes. We didn't win,
okay,
but it's okay.
Didn't win.
Was that an intimidating process or not necessarily for you?
Yeah, I think you get a little punch drunk sometimes as an entrepreneur.
Sure.
You know, people, like, you kind of just, you see opportunities, you go for the opportunities you feel are the best, or you're able to work with people that, you know, you have a lot of respect for. And that was one of those scenarios where it was done through the Canon co-working space.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they put on that pitch competition. So it was just one of those good opportunities, right? Just learn a lot and just keep going. That's what it's all about, right?
That's awesome. So before we wrap up, let's get a little straight to the heart here. Anyone for you, Travis, that you like to express some gratitude towards in your career, or anyone or anything?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, it starts with my wife, because like, if you're a woman married to an entrepreneur, bless you. So it's yeah. it's a challenge, mm-hmm. right? Because
or a man married to a female entrepreneur.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Anybody. Yeah, yeah.
Good call there. Yeah. But the reality is that the sacrifice that's involved in that is significant, and I'm just very grateful that, you know, there was never any like, why are you doing this? Why don't you get a 9-to-5? You know, so
that's awesome.
Which would have probably been good counsel a few times, right? So let's be honest. So I'm really thankful that she's always been in my corner, and what I also take a great joy in is the team is growing. You know, we're a small company, but the folks that I've been blessed to work with, you know, I'm just so thankful that they're investing their time in Momenta Tech, and that's been a real blessing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's good to hear, man. I can, you know, when you got kids in the picture, the sacrifice becomes a little bit greater, doesn't it? So yeah, it's great to have somebody in your corner like that with full support. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, Travis, before we wrap up, we're nearing the end of our show. Is there anything else that we missed today, or anything that you want to make sure you capture before, while you have the audience?
Yeah, I would say to any CFO or executive for that matter, kind of looking across like how you grow as a company, just to take the long view and know that everything ends up being about 5x. The challenge that you think it may be. And that's not me being a pessimist. It's just when it comes to software integration, it's not always straightforward. But if you take the time up front to really plan out what you want the company to look like in 5 or 10 years, not just from a personnel perspective, because I think those exercises are pretty commonly done.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets overlooked a lot is like, what does the technology powering our business look like in 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So to think on that level, that's just an encouragement I'd like to make to anyone sitting in that executive seat, is just to take that long view and really think about how you evolve from an infrastructure standpoint as well.
Great. And for anybody that wants to reach out to you, what's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
I just like to tell people, just Google me. So, because I think there's only one Travis Ebro in the world. Could be mistaken. But I'm pretty active on LinkedIn.
Travis.
We got an investigation going on.
Now. Yeah, he's trying it out.
So
Chief Executive Officer, first one, LinkedIn.
So yeah, I'm pretty
Endeavor active. Management, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of my past consulting work.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here.
Only one, huh?
There's only going to be one, bro.
But there's, yep. You wrote an article about DJing, and then what's this thing about arrested?
we'll say that for the next show.
Okay, yeah. We'll say that for the outtakes. Okay. Okay, good. So they can find you there. And you said LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's a great platform for reaching out. But drop us the what's the website for Momenta Tech?
MomentaTech.com.
All right. And that's MomentaTech.
You got
all
it.
All one word.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Awesome.
Travis, this has been fun, man. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing your story. It's one that's got a lot of passion to it. And so we're proud to have you with us. It's been a lot of fun, so we appreciate it.
Hey, guys. And for those that are tuning in, we would encourage you as well. The easiest way to reach Sammy and myself is through LinkedIn. It's Sammy Aboud. ABBOUD, and the SAMI is how you spell his name. And Jason Lee, you can stay tuned in with us. We would welcome, first of all, we're trying to build the show. So reach out to us if you're a CFO, you're listening, and you want to tell your story, or if you know, and let's say you have a value proposition or something that you think CFOs need to hear. then we're here to help share that story as well. And we're going to be building on some events and some different things to help build a CFO community. More to come. And again, stay plugged in, stay connected, and we'll see you guys next week.